What are you persuaded about? We've talked about this for several weeks, and I don't know, we might go a couple more. Who knows? Depends on how quick you guys learn. You may say, everybody, I know some of you are thinking something different. We'll just leave it at that. But anyway.
Is that how many red herrings you threw
out? That's right. How many setups, you know, put out there and watch you guys take a swing at. Kind of, that's called pinata teaching. Here you go. Go ahead. Have a whack at it. Right. So faith, persuasion. We talked about pytho. That's the root word, 3982 in the Greek. Pytho. And at its core, it means you are persuaded. People are constantly being persuaded. We understand it. Madison Avenue is all about building faith in products, isn't it? But a lot of times, it's not based upon truth in advertising, is it? See, the difference between God's building of faith is everything's predicated upon the foundation of truth. That's the difference. Truth. And He freely lets you examine the record. Whereas, you know, as we talked about, when you get into a court of law, one of the things that they do in the court of law is make sure not everything comes out. That's one of the goals of every lawyer. Suppress evidence. Tell me that isn't true. Yeah, it is so true. You suppress the evidence. You make sure that certain things are never brought out. God says, here's my record. I wrote it down. All you got to do is open and check it out. So He says, here's how I'm going to build faith. I'm going to prove to you that I'm true. And all men will be found liars. And that's what faith is, persuasion. Now, today is Resurrection Lord's Day. Amen? Now, I drove by a sign, and this is down by our house. We come down the road, and it said on the sign, and these guys would claim to have been from Restoration Persuasion. Throw that out there. And it says on the sign, Christmas is the promise. And then they put this word that's not biblical in there. It says, Easter is the proof. And I'm like, well, Easter's not in the Bible unless you got a bad translation called the King James. Then you'll find it in Acts 12:4, I believe is the verse. But Easter is not there in the Bible. And I'll get to you, Brother Clint, just so you don't waste your strength there holding your arm up. I got to bloviate for a little while, okay? I'm going to be a little bellicose in my nature at times. Anyway, so I go by and I look at my wife and I said, geez, that drives me nuts. You know, this is a congregation I think would claim that they at one time followed the biblical pattern. They're a Christian church. And they put that word there. And again, that's the common vernacular, right? What most of the religious world calls Easter today. And it's not Easter. That's not a biblical word. That is in reference to this day. Okay? That is a pagan practice that has been incorporated into the Christian church, and you can trace it all back to when the Catholics were able to convince Constantine, the Roman emperor at that time, that Christianity was an okay deal. He saw it as a great political tool to unite the whole empire of Rome under one religious state-approved religion, and therefore get everybody in on this thing. And so to make it work, you know, they had to meld the pagan practices with the Christian, and those that were in the religious orthodoxy at that time had no problem doing that. Let's just meld it, no big deal. We'll even let them call the resurrection day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Easter. Now, you can go back and trace what the roots of Easter on. I was talking to my wife. I said, I debated today whether I should come in and say, okay, we're going to put faith on hold. We're going to talk about the roots of Easter. I thought, nah, we'll just kind of incorporate a little bit as we talk about faith. But what I'm getting at is that God puts His record out, says, here's what faith is. Here's what I call myself. Here's what worship is. Here's what service is. And He goes to great extent to define these things for us. And then the religious world allows other things to come in and kind of replace God's terminology. Easter comes from, you can go back, it's Celtic, it's Scandinavian in nature. It's goes back to Oester, Esther, Oster, Ishtar, Asherah. These names ring a bell. All of them are the same goddess of fertility in the pagan world. And that's where Easter comes from. So they stick this word in there, and that's why you have bunny rabbits, you know, with eggs. You know, hello, you know. Bunnies don't do eggs, but if you're a pagan, they sure do. So they bring all this stuff in. And so what shows up in the Sunday Gazette is not that this is the high holy day of the Christian church, the resurrection Lord's Day. No, it's Easter and all the kids that got to go participate in egg rolling events or egg hunting or whatever. And it's splashed all over in the Gazette. And it probably is in papers all across the country. So Satan successfully maneuvers the people's mindset away from God has furnished proof. According to Acts 17, having raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he says, we got to get rid of that evidence, that persuasion that would build faith in people. We got to get them thinking about eggs and bunnies. And you tell me, are they effective or what? Satan is good. He's the prince of the power of the air and of the presses. Okay, not only has he got it going out over the airway, but he's got it whoosh, 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 off the papers. And they just flying that stuff out. And so you have a lot of people today that Easter is what? Well, it's bunnies, eggs, and eating chocolate. You know? When I was a kid, that's all I associated it with. So I'm going to get to you next after I get to Clint. I promised him first there, JP. So again, I wanted to introduce this. So Easter is a tremendous perversion. Now, do I, when people, when I work with them, you know, in my job, do I walk up and they say, hey, have a great Easter? Do I go, you repent? No. Am I a hypocrite? No. I usually just say this back. Have a great Easter. I'm going to have a great Resurrection Lord's Day. And I walk away and I left them going, huh? Which is what I want. See, I want that thought in their mind is he didn't call it Easter. Why not? Because what will happen? Now, I'm gone next week from mid-morning until Wednesday night. I have to go down to a company meeting down in Lost Wages. What a wait. Anyway, so I'll be down there. And but there are at least two people I said that to when I left work Friday evening. So I'm hoping when I get back, somebody will come up and say, when I said, have a great Easter, you said, you know, I'm going to have a great Resurrection Lord's Day. I hope. I don't know. Will it happen? Don't know. I hope, because that'll engage a conversation. And I'll say, well, here's why I say this and why I don't. And then I have an opportunity to tell them how Easter has come into being, and then it's not found in the Bible. Other than a bad translation in King James in Acts 12. That word in King James, Acts 12, brethren, the Greek word is Pascha. It is not Easter. That is a deliberate mistranslation by those that put together the King James Version. You know, they were contracted and hired out by the king. And the king said, give me a good translation. And so they're putting, and as they're translating it, that's why they transliterated baptizo as baptized, because they knew the king and others were not following what that word really meant. So they thought, if we put immerse and the king doesn't do that, and the king didn't have that done to him, he's going to cut our heads off. Let's make that baptize. Good enough. And then they come to Acts 12:4, and oh my goodness, we all practice Easter here. We don't practice Resurrection Lord's Day. King will cut our head off. That's Easter. So we say immerse, right? Instead of baptized. And within the brotherhood, they want to cut your head off. Within the brotherhood. Why don't you say baptized? What's this immerse? You don't read what the Bible says. The Bible says baptized. You say immerse. What's wrong with you? You're a contentious fellow. You're a son of the devil. I've been called that, brother. Not by anybody in the movement. Not to my face that I know of. I think there have been a few behind my back that have done it. I'll be honest. But, again, what are we doing? We're defining and saying what the word means. Again, I've had people tell me worship, bow down, is a synonym with service. Service means you're up doing something, typically. How can those be synonyms? They're not. So, however, assembly and church are synonyms. They're the same word. They mean the same thing if you go back and study out their etymology. That's the origin of word. Where they came from. It just means those called out and then gathered together. That's what it means. Those are synonyms. Okay. Faith. What an important subject. I can't think of anything more important. But you can see why I started with worship and service, because worship is submission at its core. Faith is being persuaded and submitting. See, what's God all about? I want you, and are people's arms about ready to get snapped off? Because they're, shut up, Kevin, I want to ask something. And I'm going to get to you all, I promise. I'll give you at least 30 seconds. All right? So, what I'm saying is that at the core of Christianity is you are persuaded. And you will willingly submit. See, that's a difference between true religion. Okay, and I'm going to say faith is what God calls it. All right? It's based upon truth, and you will submit willingly because you know it is true. Versus Islam, Allah, or your head gets cut off. I'll take Allah. Right? If you're a Christian, when they're holding your kids over the side of a Roman boat with the oars slapping the water, and they say, we're going to drop your kid unless you say Caesar is God, versus you claim Christ, this Jesus guy, is God, what are you going to do? Well, if you don't have any faith, if you're not persuaded Jesus is who he said he was, God is real, that he exists and he is a rewarder of those who seek him, and your children are secure and safe and going straight to the throne in heaven if they die, you will say Christ, and they'll let go of your children. And they will be killed. But you'll be confident that your children went to the throne in heaven, right? So you're like, all I got to do is remain faithful. Maybe my head gets cut off and we're reunited. Right? Okay. Now we'll take the comments. In the order of which I received them, you have 30 seconds. Go. 29, 28...
Okay, let me see if I can remember way back when I had my comment.
Should I go to Chippee?
No, on the Easter thing, I've and the sign.
I was afraid bringing this up, I might burn the whole class.
I got to back up to the sign. Just this week, I saw two signs that were kind of struck me as funny. Both of them said the same thing. Come join us for Easter worship. So thought, well, at least they're revealing what their worship, you know.
I think that's a great one.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing about proclaiming, you know, Easter is Resurrection Day, you know, I can't remember his death every time that I take the Lord's Supper without remembering his resurrection and his ascension. And so I would just submit that, you know, Resurrection Lord's Day is really every Lord's Day. You know, we recognize that and acknowledge that and go out and preach that. So, yep.
Thank you. Okay, PJ, I think you're a second.
Oh, one other thing.
Are you playing the old detective deal with me, Columbo? Oh, one other thing. Yeah.
This just struck me funny. The Easter Bunny and his crew at the Rimrock Mall yesterday were escorted off of the property by the Billings Police Department. There were some things missing from the customer service desk. So I thought that was fitting. They literally got escorted, bunny suit and all, off the property.
Well, I didn't see that in the Gazette. We were robbed there. Yeah, I'm sure you'll claim he was framed, yeah. I'll get to you, Mike, after I get to Paige.
You know, when they say nothing is new underneath the sun, Satan doesn't have to change his tactics, because as you even brought up about, you know, the Romans holding your kids, they're going to use your kids as leverage. And what do most people participate Easter for? Well, it's for the kids. Everything's for the kids. Well, we did this as a tradition. We always had these hunts, and it brought the family together, and blah blah blah. So guess what? He's still going to continue to use your kids as leverage if you let him.
Mike.
I have two comments, so I'll begin my minute now. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God." Verse 13 says, "Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." Translation, we got no business calling Easter. Okay? And then my second one, this is actually to help segue back for you. It's something I've been thinking about all through our class on faith. We sing a song, and it deals specifically with the word persuaded, but we sing a song, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded." The New American Standard translates that "convinced," but that's out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And that goes along with what you're talking about with faith there. Man, we are fully convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him that day. Basically, we've entered into that covenant contract relationship with God, where we believe that, according to Romans 4, that He is able to perform what He has promised, and it is our duty to act like those soldiers and not get entangled in the affairs of everyday life. And so I think that those things are a really important thing. And when you look through the Scriptures, it may not always say the word faith, but you look at the word convinced or persuaded or fully persuaded, that, you know, we can look at those things and understand that that has to do with right down to the very core of our being and who we are. And that is what defines our worldview and from what position we view everything. So I think that it's really important, you know, to the earlier part of that, man, we combine spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And, man, we have to be fully convinced and persuaded that God is able to do what He's promised.
Amen. Sure. Just a couple of quick things. Mike hit the nail on the head with using spiritual words, but I wanted to let everybody know that the study that you did on Easter is on our website. Just go up and search for the word Easter. It's the top hit on that one. And all of the information that you talked about is there. The other thing that I find interesting about this whole thing in general is dealing with Astarte. It's actually the logo for a very popular company in the United States. Starbucks. So, and just let's take this one step further. The CEO of Starbucks was in a discussion about gay marriage. He's very much in support of it. And when somebody asked him a question about it, as why, he said, "It's, if you don't like it, take your money somewhere else." So I encourage everybody, when you go and spend $6 on a coffee, you are supporting one of the largest lobbyists for gay marriage in the country. So just something to think about.
That's true. Yeah, we're all going to have to make our decision. But so what do we call them? Astarte Bucks? Okay. Brother.
I just wanted to know if everybody saw the marketing that Fake Chapel was doing with their advertising to join us in food and fun and just for this day. I just the marketing that they do is I pray for these folks that they don't get deceived into thinking that this has anything to do with God or our Lord. And so it's not it's not a marketing tool to say, "Oh, come join us for Easter," and I just pray for their souls that we can one day show them the truth, that we have an opportunity one day that we can speak to these folks.
Keep praying, we'll get her. Keep praying. I knew when I mentioned Easter I was in trouble, and I'm going to put a lot of mileage on today. Yeah.
Just a couple of things. Mankind has just a bad habit of thinking, "I got it covered." You know, the whole thing with Easter, you know, most people that are going out there and, you know, participating in what Easter egg hunts and eating chocolate bunnies and stuff, you know, they're not thinking that, you know, they are, you know, worshiping, you know, some fertility goddess. You know, that's not conscious in their minds. But anytime you let that stuff slip in, historically, it's always bad. You know, Israel, would God said, do not intermarry. Kill, get rid of all the pagan nations there. Do not intermingle with their customs. And Israel, I got it handled. Yeah, and it led to their basically deportation and fall eventually, especially Samaria. So the northern kingdom, or the northern kingdom of Israel. But so it never goes well. We're in the same boat. I mean, if you start to let that stuff creep in, you know, a couple of people have mentioned that it becomes the focus. And unfortunately, as Dave mentioned, it is a great marketing tool. It's a fantastic marketing tool. We said a free Easter egg hunt to all the kids of Billings. We'd have this place packed out probably, you know, with 2,000 people easy. We could get here. But there's an adage out there: what you win them with is what you win them to. You know, we don't want to win people to Easter egg hunts. You know, we don't want to win people to things like that because that then becomes the focus, and the focus should not be these whatever you want to call them, you know, traditions or because you don't keep people that way. You don't really change lives. You don't change hearts. You know, you don't create new creations. You just get people with worldly customs, and the guy down the street who has a bigger worldly custom wins people with that. And unfortunately, that's what you see in the religious marketplace. You see winning, you know, they'll use whatever they have out there. They'll use worldly means, they'll use pagan means, they don't care, you know, but that doesn't work. That doesn't change a heart for God. So, you know, let's just use the truth, you know. I think, you know, that can speak in of itself. You know, an Easter egg hunt is one day a year. A new creation is 365 days a year.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, so we receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Not love of an Easter egg hunt?
I'd encourage you guys all to read Romans 14. I mean, it deals with a lot of stuff, but 5 and 6 in particular, it talks about one guy holds one day up above another, and another guy chooses to do that. But it gives a qualifying in verse 6. It says, he who observes the day, observe it for the Lord, and he who eats, do so for the Lord, and he who gives thanks to God. Make sure that, I mean, you can choose to participate in Resurrection Lord's Day to some extent. You want to recognize it as different than any of the Lord's, that's fine. Just do it for God. Don't get sucked into the garbage. So, and again, I'd encourage everybody to read Romans 14 with the understanding that that's applicable to Easter, Christmas, things like that.
I would agree. Okay.
Acts chapter 19, when Paul is in Ephesus, and there's that whole discussion about the temple of Artemis. Artemis is the same person. It's Diana, it's Athena.
Yep.
And if you read here, by the way, I believe it was the Epicurean philosophers forwarded the idea of evolution. And they also basically said that life on this planet started from an egg which fell down from heaven. If you read Acts chapter 19, verse 35, it says, after quieting the crowd, the town clerk said, men of Ephesus, what man is there after all who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of the image which fell down from heaven? So it's interesting because, you know, people, well, God doesn't really care if you call it, you know, he doesn't really care. Because, you know, it's just local customs. You got to get involved and, you know, to make the most of it. No, you don't. I mean, the whole point that Paul was making here is that you don't worship any other God but God. So it is funny to me how the sign pegged it. You know, come and worship Easter with us. So
that is good, isn't it? That is good. Okay. The image that fell down from heaven. Gee, didn't somebody else fall down from heaven? Gee, I wonder if he'd have stuck an image that you'd worship. Yeah. Huh. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Appreciate your guys' participation and input and leaving me 10 minutes for my class. So that's my fault. I brought that on myself, believe me. Every time I do this, I know this is probably not going to go well, but we'll throw it out there. In reference to the class, what I mean by that. It goes well. I appreciate your guys' comments. Yes, you guys don't walk through. You gallop through. So in any case, we're going to go back to faith. And this is so, you know, and I know most of you guys understand this. You're going, okay. But really, it's for our younger brothers and sisters in Christ and all this stuff they need to understand. Why we do the things we do. We follow the pattern of the New Testament because that's the way it's supposed to be done. Go make disciples. What do? We persuade them. So I keep telling you, the most important study you will ever do for yourself and for anyone else is proof that the Bible is the Word of God. Because you can ask people, like I've told you, it doesn't matter. You just ask people this question, it doesn't matter what their answer is. Your next question is always the same. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Whether they say yes or no, your next question is why? And I always love when they think that they're playing into your position. Well, you go up to somebody and they know you're the religious guy, right? And you go up and you say, oh, do you believe the Bible's the Word of God? And some conversations they say, well, yeah, sure. And you go, why? And they go, well, first of all, they're shocked you asked them why. Then they go, well, you know. Well, why do you believe it? Well, you know. I'm not going to give you the answer. Tell me why you believe it. And they can't. The multitude of people out there, or they'll say, well, I just have this feeling. Really? Well, what if I told you I had a feeling that guys with your hair color that don't wear beards should be killed? I just have this feeling. How comfortable are you with that feeling? And they're going to be a little freaked out, aren't they? And then you start reaching to your bag and they're like, uh-oh. They don't know what's coming. Well, I just had this feeling. Are my feelings the arbiter of what's correct? No. That's an extreme case, right? But I mean, these are the kind of things you got to do to get people to think. Feelings don't mean squat. Adolf Hitler thought that Jews were basically lower than a human life form, and he thought he did no wrong in killing them. How do you feel about that? Well, if they say, well, that's wrong, I say, well, who are you to judge? We're not supposed to judge, are we? You can play all kinds of these things with people, can't you? But if you can prove to them that there's something called truth, and that they can stand and be predicate their life upon that, then you've got something that you can work with. You guys understand that, but you've got to persuade people. Why do you think the assemblies take place week after week? We are attempting to persuade you that what God has said is true, and that what God has recommended for a lifestyle is true. What God has recommended in reference to what is our purpose is true. What God has said about you is true. And that's the constant thing that we're trying to put into your head. Anybody that's up front here that is paying attention to Scripture is going to be doing that. That's why when you get up here, and why I've told you for years, many of you have been here years, but for years, that really it's all about one message with three points. Know Jesus. Amen? I mean, if you're a Christian, you're claiming you know Him. I just hope He knows you. That's always the key question. Having come to know God, or rather, oops, there's a big rather, having been known by Him, right? Okay, so do you know Jesus? Do you know who you are in Jesus? Well, people say, yeah, but do they really believe it? I'm telling you, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. And we're going to study fruit. Because that's a misapplied and misunderstood concept as well in the New Testament. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. If you have faith, you will have fruit. Both personal character type and what really is important, reproduced fruit. If you believe this, you will not shut your mouth. Paul said, being persuaded, we speak. He says, having come to believe. But that word is pithos. We believe because we're persuaded. We speak. If people are really going to burn in hell, are you going to shut your mouth? If hell's real, how could you? You can't. Now, there's a way to deliver it tactfully. We all understand that. So, do you know who Jesus is? Isaiah did. Isaiah spoke of Him because he saw His glory. That's Isaiah 6. Who did he see? I see Yahweh, Jehovah of hosts. Who was he talking about in John 12? Jesus Christ. Who's Jesus, brethren? Now, here comes a blasphemous statement that'll drive people right out the door. Jesus is Jehovah. I have no problem saying that. I'm Jehovah's Witness. Not some fake out there who wants to make Jesus a God. Jesus is God. So, again, are you going to stand and say that to somebody? Now, Trinitarianism is a widespread belief among the religious marketplace. We've seen many attacked for making a statement that Jesus is the Son. Jesus is, according to Isaiah, the Eternal Father. And he saw him, by the way, at the same time. And Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor, the Holy Spirit. He is the fullness of deity. So Jesus is Jehovah. Will you make that stand? Will your faith allow you to say that? That's fruit. I'll say it. I don't care. Now, there's some even in the resurrection or the restoration brotherhood who would just go, oh! I guarantee you there was a collective gasp by some people that might be listening online right now. Blasphemy! Shut it off! Hurry, hurry, shut it off! That's what I'm saying. When it says He is the Eternal Father, I mean, deal with that. You tell me what that means. Well, you know, we can, and here we go around the mulberry bush, the mulberry bush, the mulberry bush. And you can see them whip out their giant spiritual corkscrew, right? Yeah! We're going to twist this scripture really good. Yeah! Right? So I'm telling you, brethren, what is your faith? Are you persuaded? Okay, if you know who Jesus is, you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Okay? You'll know that you're a saint, won't you? Kathy and I watched a little bit of a TV show on this. It's about a, I don't know what, I'm not going to get into a lot of it, but there's one part in this TV show where this guy is supposedly reformed from being a criminal to being a believer. I'll just use that term loosely. But he's got a bunch of these people in the camp. Down comes this marshal to talk to him. He says, oh, this guy's instrumental in my conversion and it was miraculous. And if we had saints in our church, and we know we don't, that was his statement, he'd be a saint. What do you say? Brethren, the church is filled with saints. And you don't need some guy who calls himself Il Papa. Ooh, Daddy. You're going to steal God's name, call yourself the Father? To say, I'm going to canonize you and make you a saint? When you're immersed into Christ, the Lord said, you're a saint. Now, who higher can you go to for authority than that? Your faith will tell you you're a saint. So you go and you stand before people and you hand them your card like Jared has done in the past and others. And here's here, if you ever want a Bible study, here's my card. And it says right on there, Saint Jared. And they're like, oh. Stand back like, oh, Saint Jared. Well, everything we do, we're trying to what? Get people to react. You know, there's shock jocks out there, brethren, and they're trying to get an audience. And they're affected by shocking people. They have to because they're apathetic. Sometimes you got to use a little shock factor and use it smartly. All right? So something like that, which is totally harmless, but you hand a person a card that says St. Jared on it. You know, people ask me my email address all the time. I say it's stkevin@breslin.net. And they go, St. Kevin? Yeah. And I'm just waiting. Please, Lord, make him say something. Please, Lord, make him say. Why do you, you know, oh, that's a great question. You know, my answer is, you know, I looked at the Bible and the letters to the church in the New Testament says to the saints. I noticed it didn't say to the black-hearted sinners. Now, I just say, have you ever heard anybody say that Christians are black-hearted sinners? Great opening conversation, isn't it? All you got to say. They go, yeah, I have heard that, if they're religious. Right? Because the pastor gets up there and preaches a message and then diminishes everything he just preached. But, you know, telling you how to do this, how to do this, how to do this. Then at the end he goes, but! There he goes, oh, I was hoping the escape valve was coming. I was starting to feel a lot of pressure here. He goes, but we're black-hearted sinners. Right? I've heard it at national prayer clinics. Guys preach great message, get in. But! We're black-hearted sinners. And my head dropped. Not because I was feeling like I was a black-hearted sinner, but I was like, oh, not here, too. There's a restoration movement, National Prayer Clinic in Virginia. A guy from New York, Joe O'Neill. This guy had said it. Oop, I got it out on the internet. Oop, now he knows I said it. So? Right, again, that's not what the Scripture says. Your faith says you're a saint. Now, if your faith says you're a saint, you know who Jesus, you know who you are, you know your purpose. What's your purpose? Bear fruit. It's your purpose. It's what the church is all about. It's not so we can come here, make you feel good. Is that a comfortable enough chair for you, Mike? Oh, good, because I was afraid you could say we have to spend more money to make you more comfortable. right? But I mean, that's what it's all about. Well, what program do you have for my children? I'll tell you the program I got for your children. It's called Monday through Friday. You need to get them into Christian school. That's the program we got for your children. How's that? Like that? No volleyball, no football, no basketball, no speech, no debate club. Hey, brethren, look. Jesus was interested in faith, wasn't he? He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find the faith on the earth? So you know what he would do in his whole ministry? He was sifting. Is this a difficult thing for you to hear? He'd ask. After he talked to him about, you know, in John 6, about you got to eat my flesh, drink my blood. Oh, is this a difficult thing for you to hear? You're telling me I got to be a cannibal? You mean the zombie thing's real? You know that. You can imagine people's thought processes. I mean, he's sifting. Are you interested? Do you really believe what I'm going to tell you? Do you really believe? So that's the way the scripture's set up. It's like those big hoppers going like this, seeing what's going to fall through. That's the ones that aren't going to make it. And the ones that are going to stay on top. So he's constantly doing that. What's the assembly all about, brethren? We're doing that here too. We're constantly running those. Are you interested in truth? You interested in truth? You interested in truth? Look, if something upsets somebody, it wouldn't matter what it was that upset them. At some point, it would have been something else just as legitimate to give them an excuse to exit. Brother Jay has said there's people looking to get their way in, and there's people looking to get their way out of the church. And usually it's an agenda contrary to God's. So, faith. I want you to understand we covered no scriptures today other than ones I quoted, kind of, you know, paraphrased. But brethren, faith is super important. Are you persuaded? That's what faith is. That's the root word, pytho, from which all the others come. Pistis, the verb pistueo, pistos, all of them come from that word. And it's persuasion. Now, what are we to be persuaded by? Kevin, am I such a great talker I can fool you guys? I hope not. All the stuff I mentioned this morning, I tried to back with Scripture. That's how we build faith. That's how we are persuaded. The Word of God. Not what Kevin says, but what Kevin can prove comes from the Word of God. What Kevin cannot prove that comes from the Word of God, you ignore. Do you hear me? If Luke can't prove it, you ignore. If Mike Ferguson can't prove it, you ignore. If Clint Stone can't prove it, you ignore. If he comes up and makes some doctrine, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying you ignore their examples or whatever they might use in their teaching. I'm saying if they can't prove it, you ignore it. Mike, you had a comment? And we're going to close. I'm five over.
It's important to know that people can be persuaded apart from the truth.
Yes. That's an avenue.
Yeah. So it's important for, if we're going to follow God as Christians, followers of Christ, to understand that the thing about truth is it never lies. And the other thing is that whether we believe in it or not, it's still truth.
That's right. It's irrelevant.
So the choice really is, do we really want to follow God?
Amen.
Do we really want to pick up our cross daily and submit, as we've been learning, and follow Him? He's the example. He is the truth. So it's all about that commitment to submit and execute. Salute.
Amen. Okay. Thanks for your guys' attention. We'll bring